Hi, friends. My name's Erica. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm really delighted and slightly nervous to have been asked to speak today. I know that some people can come up here and freestyle for 20 minutes, and I really admire that. I can't do that, so I have some prepared remarks, which I hope is okay. Today, I'm going to be sharing my own story and my own opinion. I don't speak for OA, I don't speak for this group. I hope you will hear something that does help you, but no matter what, I invite you to take what you want and leave the rest. So if what I share doesn't speak to you today, please keep coming back anyway. So I want to start with a reading from Voices of Recovery. Quote, abstinence means freedom from bondage, from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Overeaters Anonymous, third edition, page 3. This statement is a profound revelation to me. It helps me remember when my disease wants me to forget that overeating dominated me for nearly 4 decades before I came to OA. Hearing these words early in recovery gave me a positive perspective when I felt deprived by abstinence or different from other people. Through 10 years of abstinence, my appreciation of freedom from bondage has deepened physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I cherish the precious independence OA has given me. Freedom to look in the mirror and like what I see. Freedom to purchase clothes that I want, not just clothes that fit. Freedom to move my body in ways that morbid obesity prevented. Freedom to know all of my feelings and to feel them fully, and freedom to become a life-managing adult, end quote. So that's from Voices of Recovery on May 6th. So I'm going to start by saying this, and I feel like I need to say it today, especially because this time of year, there's a lot of opportunities for us compulsive overeaters to feel that separateness from our fellows. But I'm going to say that I love being in recovery, and I don't think I say that enough. I treat recovery with a lot of gravitas, and I think it deserves to be treated that way. The OA literature says that this is a killing disease. But I think it's also important to look at my life in recovery and talk about how much this process has brought to me. So today I want to share why I love being in recovery by talking about it step by step. Starting with step one. I love step one because this is the step that allowed me to start understanding myself and really forgiving myself. I am powerless over food. And it makes my life unmanageable. I have always felt that my life was unmanageable in a way that I just really struggled to articulate. But when I took step one, I was able to put a different spin on why I was where I was. So I came into the rooms on January 4th of 2021. And at that time, I weighed more than 325 pounds. I had done all of the things that a lot of you have probably done. I had dieted and restricted and lost and gained back with interest. And there was never any break from the fact that the food just had me. What I learned with step one tells me that I didn't actually fail with any of those attempts to control my food. I certainly didn't succeed, but step one tells me that it was not basically possible for me to succeed. I am a compulsive overeater, which means I literally don't have what it takes to arrest my disease with any of the tools that the world tells me will work. And if you look back on your own dieting careers, there might have always been something in the back of your mind that told you that the deck was kind of stacked against you from the start. That was certainly the case for me. I didn't fail at controlling my eating and my weight because success was not actually an option that was on the table for me. I just didn't know it at the time. So taking step one allowed me to kind of do two things. First, to stop going back to the solution that was wrong for me, i.e., dieting, and then forgive myself for failing to control my weight with those tools. They were the wrong tools for me. So I love step one because that's where I started to forgive myself for a lifetime of not being able to control my eating and my weight. Step two is came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. So what I love about step two is that sanity is actually an option. When I came into the rooms, I didn't know that it was. I don't think I had ever actually experienced it. All I had known was a lifetime of food obsession, and I thought that was normal. Whether it was dieting or being obsessed with what I couldn't eat, or binging and obsessing about what I was going to eat next and how much of it there was and how late the store was open. And I wonder if there's a different cashier working so I don't have to be embarrassed about how much food I actually bought. Basically, food insanity. I didn't know that there was a different way to live. And by 2021, when I came to the rooms, I was desperate enough to try this program. But if I'm honest, I pretty much thought I was stuck that way. I had nothing to lose because I had pretty much decided that I was just going to eat myself to death because there was nothing that I could do to stop it. And I was well on my way. I heard the promises, and they talk about how we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We'll comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. And I thought, okay, if you say so, but I did not buy what you were selling. But the alternative was more misery, so I stuck around. And with step three, I let a higher power in. In my case, it's the program and the kind of the flow of the universe that I can tune into if I am not obsessed with food and self. In step one, I recognized that I was defeated, and I admitted that whatever it took to not kill myself with food, I did not have it on my own, full stop. And in my case, the decision came really quickly. I woke up on the morning of January 4th, 2021, and I decided to go to my first OA meeting. But before I went to the meeting, I first had my first real encounter with genuine surrender. It felt really uncomfortable. I didn't like it. But the gift of desperation pushed me just to throw up my hands and say, okay, 12-step program, if you think you can help me, then help me. I'll try it your way. So the decision came really quickly, but turning it over came way more slowly. But it turns out this program has what I don't have, and not just when it comes to compulsive overeating. I didn't have that realization right away. It came later and a lot more slowly. It was kind of like a dripping tap. Over and over, things just started to get incrementally better, like meal by meal at the very start of it. I still feel the promises when I look at the small victories that I experience every day through this program, but step three is where it really started. And step three brings me to something that I love about recovery, which is the ability to turn over what I know I can't handle to a program and a fellowship that's greater than myself. And I turn over a lot of things, big things like my relationships, and small things like whether I should walk down the grocery aisle or not. And thank goodness that my program has better ideas than my own. That's another thing I love about recovery. When I don't know the answer, it usually boils down to a version of work your program, and the answers will come. And there's no question that things get in the way of that. And that's why I love step four. It helps me to see what's in my way. And when I did my first step four, I learned that there was a name for this force that I had always felt was present in my life, but that I was never able to actually articulate to anybody in a meaningful way. So it talks about this in the big book, how we often feel different from others. And I did. I had always felt like there was something wrong with me. And every time I had reached out to try and share it or address it, what I got back was a response to the symptoms of what was going on. What was wrong with me manifested in compulsive eating and then excess weight. So I was told to eat less and exercise more, right? It's just that easy, folks. And I felt some difficulty connecting with people and maintaining friendships, but I never connected that to my food or to what else was going on. I also felt constantly overwhelmed and like everybody got this manual for life that I never got. And I couldn't seem to be of use to anyone, even to myself. And this passage in the OA 12 and 12, I think, really nailed it. It says, quote, "Our lives became unmanageable when the car wouldn't start, the computer broke down, or our bank account wouldn't balance. We suffered from other people's unmanaged lives or from bad luck. What alternative did we have? We ate to sate the fears, the anxieties, the angers, the disappointments. We ate to escape the pressures of our problems or the boredom of everyday life. We procrastinated, we hid, and we ate." And the last sentence of that passage is basically my overeating career summed up more elegantly than I could ever put it. And the first time I read that, I actually almost cried with gratitude because it was the first time that I had ever seen what I was feeling in print. And even though this passage is from the step one section of the 12 and 12, I'm including it here to talk about step four because it really encapsulates what I love so much about step four. So in step one, I admitted that yes, there's something very wrong with me. I'm a compulsive overeater. Step four allows me to start looking at exactly how that shows up in my life and in my behavior. And all I had ever experienced prior to coming to OA was really temporary symptom relief. Step four allows me to get past the symptoms and down to causes and conditions. They talk about that in the big book. So doing my first step four was the first time I felt like I was being given the tools to look at what was really going on in a meaningful way. So in step five, I shared what I had never shared before. Knowing that there's something wrong with me that I couldn't name made me edit myself constantly in conversations. I would go into pay and weigh meetings and hear the information that I needed to lose weight, and I would nod along with everybody else. All the while thinking, why is nobody talking about how to stop like the chattering monkey in my brain that tells me that I should eat out of the garbage? It didn't occur to me that maybe these nice folks sitting next to me didn't have that going on for them. So step five is where I really started to understand the meaning of Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, Welcome Home. I shared my step four with my sponsor, and she helped me see how much of being a compulsive overeater had nothing to do with food. And I love that the principle of step five is integrity, because in taking steps four and five, I started to get a sense of what it could be like to live with some semblance of genuine integrity. People pleasing is one of my biggest character defects. And through a lot of step work, I have learned how impossible it is to have integrity when the driving force behind what you do is what other people are going to think of it. So I love step five because it allowed me for the first time in my life to show up unedited in a conversation about the biggest problem that I had, which was compulsive overeating. It was a problem I could never solve. And only then, after I had taken step five, could I start to have the conversations that I needed to have so that I could start healing. And the promises talk about this too. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. The phrase situations that used to baffle us is actually one of my favorites in the whole big book because I feel baffled very, very often still. But it gives me hope when I feel baffled. Maybe this will be one of the times when that intuition will kick in or that work will pay off and something will change. And sometimes it does, and it's such a good feeling. And that feeling is really what I love about step six and seven. I love step six because it allows me to experience real change with stuff I have been struggling with forever. I have managed to change some things about myself before program. There were certain things that I just never could. I couldn't shift those boulders. I used to make endless lists to try and motivate myself and make real commitments about what I was going to do every day to try and be a different person, more of the day, a more capable person. That's what I wanted to be, and it never stuck. It always sort of felt like I was running through glue. So I love step six because the instructions in step six tell me really clearly that my job is to do what I can and then be ready. Be ready to have the character defect removed. Be ready when an opposite behavior, and then watch for my opportunities to practice that opposite behavior. Be in the efforts business and not the results business, basically. And I love step seven because there's so much hope in the idea that my defects of character can actually be removed. But anytime I tried before, I was trying to do things alone. So that running through glue feeling was really just the struggle. And the big book tells me that I have to cease fighting anything and anyone. And that means that I have to stop fighting myself. So I love step seven because it helps me to not fight myself. I have been doing that all my life. And I also love that step seven talks about how some of the defects might actually be assets that need to be brought back into balance. I'm as stubborn as they come, but if I'm stubborn about recovery, then I can stop harming myself. And I love step eight because even though I stopped struggling in step seven, I still have action to take. So the instructions in step eight are so clear. Look at the harm I've done and be ready to right it. My experience in working step eight is that the idea is usually scarier than the practice. If I make my list and look honestly at the harms, the process of healing takes on a momentum of its own. I've talked about those boulders before, but I've always found that when I do the work in recovery, it takes on a momentum. It almost pays off more than I feel like I've put in. The boulder's just on a cliff top and it just needs a little push. So that's another thing I love about step work in general. There have been so many changes in my life since I joined the program, and I feel like they're all way out of proportion to the effort that I've actually put in. And I love step nine because it still scares the daylights out of me. I'm sitting here telling you that I come to step nine cringing every single time. I never want to take step nine. But what that means to me is that there's a chance to grow in this program and a chance to get stronger in my recovery. And I love that the learning never stops and the healing never stops. And that with step nine, I have a chance to change things that really felt unchangeable before I came to program. And I think looking honestly at the damage that I did to myself and to other people with my compulsive eating would only really be possible if there was some way to actually do something about it, to make the future different than the past. And I think step nine gives me that chance. The other thing about step nine that I love is that there's a famous author who has a quote, and I won't name them here because it's not conference approved, but what they talk about is that you should keep a nodding acquaintance with your former selves, because if you don't, they have a tendency to show up uninvited. And step nine makes sure that I keep that nodding acquaintance with the former self, because I know that person is still around. Step 10 helps me over and over again to avoid the sort of black and white success or failure thinking that has sunk me so many times before. I blow the diet with one meal. I love step 10 because it puts me in touch with the things that have helped me most in my recovery, which one of them is the idea of 24-hour living, just doing today's work. I find a lot of serenity in reviewing my day, looking at where I was triggered and how I reacted, and then seeking through program and my sponsor to do what needs to be done to right any wrongs. practicing step 10 allows me to keep my recovery in today because that's the only time that's actually available to me to do anything about it. And that gives me a lot of peace. I am an anxious person by nature. I tend to read minds. I'm a future thinker. My body might be at rest, but if I'm troubled by something, my mind gets really, really busy. So being able to just ask myself the questions, what can I do about this before bedtime? And have I done that? Brings me a lot of peace. I can rest if I can answer yes to both of those questions. With step 11, I love how much it surprises me. And I want to share something I have started doing as a step 11 practice. And I'm actually going to think I'm going to do this year instead of doing a New Year's resolution because goodness knows I've blown too many New Year's resolutions in my life. So I'm sharing this just in case it helps somebody. But I've started making a list at the end of my day about how my recovery showed up in my life today. Just the big and small things I experienced only because I practiced the steps and used the tools. So these could be things like I felt a shift in an old behavior pattern. I asserted a boundary and I felt okay about it, and I didn't have to second guess myself for the rest of the day. It can be something as simple as my clothes fit. I didn't have to buy a new winter jacket this year because the one from last year fit me still, which is unheard of. And it can also be things like I didn't hear a voice telling me that I should eat something out of the garbage, or that I was able to know what food is good for me and put that knowledge into practice. And this has really helped me because I notice the promises that they're coming true when I take this practice. And it also helps me to remember how far down the scale I have actually gone. It reminds me that my program is working in my life because if I look at my life prior to this program, I was not experiencing any of those things. And I was not capable of bringing them about because I am powerless. Step 12. I love step 12. It's teaching me two things. Through service, I have discovered a lot of gifts that I didn't know that I had. I've discovered the joys of fellowship, and I'm figuring out that fellowship is different to friendship. The fellowship of this program has brought what I feel like another kind of love into my life. It comes from people who I never would have shared my story with if I had met them outside of program. I might not have even spoken to them. In step five, I talked about the experience of showing up authentically for the first time and having the conversations that I need to have. And I have that experience over and over again when I go to the OA rooms. And every time it feels kind of sacred in its own way. The level of honesty and acceptance that we give each other is not really something that I think can be replicated in traditional friendship. And I love that I get to experience it. I also love that I can practice step 12. And if I can, it means that I have enough recovery to be able to give some away. And that brings me to the thing that I love most about recovery, which is that it works. I love being in recovery because I live more often in hope than than in fear. Recovery gives me the possibility for growth, where I previously felt like I had only sort of entropy and stuckness. Recovery also gives me back the gift of myself, and that's the self that's beneath the behaviors that are driven by a lot of addiction and pain. Through recovery, I've discovered an Erica that I actually really like. I couldn't have said that 4 years ago. I discovered a higher power who has love and patience that I can't seem to exhaust. This group is incredible. And this program is incredible. And the fellowship has given me back a love for other people. And I think I lost that when I focused on the shortcomings that I saw in myself and in the people that I was meeting every day. But the fellowship and the program work have shown me that I am worthy and so are you. And I love that who I am today is enough and who I am tomorrow could be different, more healed, less chaotic, more open and loving and ready to receive love. Since coming to this program, my body is over 100 pounds lighter. I am more physically able than I was 4 years ago, and that's a miracle. I was well on my way to becoming disabled because of my weight. My life is getting closer to that ideal of sane and happy usefulness that they talk about in the Big Book, and that's a miracle. And I have so much more to learn and more to heal and more to discover, and that's a miracle too. So that's why I love being in recovery. And that's why I will keep coming back. Thanks everyone for letting me share.